to call this meeting of the Committee on Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion to order on Wednesday, October 20th at 9 a.m. in the President's Conference Room and over Zoom. Start with roll call.
Senator Ballin.
Bowling, sorry.
You're good.
Present.
Senator Georgian.
Present.
Senator No.
Present.
Senator Noble.
Absent and excused.
Okay. Senator Roundtree.
Present.
Senator Rowe.
Present.
Senator Wise.
Hey, hi, hello.
Quorum is present.
Awesome. All right, we are going to move to the next item on the agenda, which is public comment. And Dean Perez is here. We're going to start with him. And whenever you're ready, you can go ahead.
Great. Okay. Good morning, everyone, and thank you very much for inviting me to your meeting this morning. I think that having a conversation about DEI leadership, not just, of course, as it concerns students, but also as it concerns all of our community, faculty, staff, and students, is extremely important. And as an Associate Dean of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion for the College of Liberal Arts, I've had the distinct pleasure of helping to identify and advance diversity initiatives for the College of Liberal Arts, and I'm quite fortunate to have a whole team of faculty, also as people in the college, the Dean's Office, the College of Liberal Arts Dean's Office, and of course the support of our ASUN senators in helping to advance some of the initiatives that we have in the college. I believe most of you are aware that the Office of Diversity Inclusion and the University of Diversity Inclusion Officer, Dr. Elisa Gordon-Mora, has, in the last couple of years, also been working with all units to develop a DEI strategic plan for the university, right? I'm not sure if any of you have actually seen it. Has anyone actually seen it?
We got it emailed to us.
Good,
so,
yeah. Because it was just created. It has the diversity initiatives for every unit on campus, every college. And so what I did was I brought for you what we submitted in that particular plan. You might even have a digital version of it. If it, you do, it's the same thing that's embedded in there. But I thought I would share that with you and then we'd kind of go through some of the diversity initiatives that we have for the college that we identified for this year. So I don't have an electronic version.
I can pull it up if you'd like. Yeah.
If you have it, yeah.
That'd
be great. And I believe, I forget which page number it's on. So that's a lengthy document. I think ours, you can look it up, but it's on page, I think it begins on page 24. But let me pass these copies around. And so that way, oh great, perfect. And if you can see where the CLA one begins, I believe it's page 24.
Hello everybody.
Good morning.
My apologies, friends, parking is
delicious. Please let the record reflect that Senator Noble walked in at 9:10 a.m.
Freudian slip, Haley.
Thank you. I was just sharing and beginning a conversation on the diversity, equity, inclusion strategic plan that the College of Liberal Arts submitted to upper administration, to the Office of Diversity and Inclusion, which is now part of our larger DEI strategic plan. So if you notice, the plan begins with our mission statement as well as our commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion. And then the one thing we were asked to do was to highlight some of the successes that we've had in this area recently. And so at the bottom part of the first page, you'll see significant CLA achievements in advancing DEI. One of the first things that we did when I started as diversity and an equity and inclusion officer for the college was to develop an anti-racism statement. We displayed this prominently on our website. We also asked faculty to use this on their syllabi. I'm working with the Faculty Diversity Committee now to try to make this a requirement for syllabi throughout the university. Right now it's merely a recommendation and an option, but we're hoping that we can make this part of our syllabi policy in the same way that we require other statements related to Title IX, disability resources, etc., to be on all syllabi. We also have a really robust diversity research and engagement website that you can access through the College of Liberal Arts. It contains and highlights not just statements that we've made concerning Black Lives Matter, concerning also anti-Asian hate and bias and awareness, but also a really robust list of resources for everyone, not just for faculty, not just for students, not just for staff, but also we have people who are accessing this website from throughout the nation who have contacted me and asked me to either add additional resources or to do or use it in a variety of ways. So it has a list of some of the courses that we offer, some research related to DEI that our faculty have published. It has teaching resources. It has recommended reading books. There are also articles. It has podcasts that are addressing issues of race and racism in this country. And so I'm really proud of that particular resource we've created. And it's now I use it for a number of different reasons and also guide people who are searching for assistance for it. I've had people reach out to me from other colleges, also students who have just been really grateful that we've created this sort of a presence online and have made comments about how their own colleges have not. So I think one way we can move forward, one way in which I'm working now with the Faculty Diversity Committee to do this more comprehensive work, is to try to make the same recommendation to other units, and I'm hoping that other colleges can do the same. And I don't think it requires creating like individual statements or newspapers. I think it's a matter of sharing resources. I suggest to departments and units that, you know, if you just add a link to our website, that's all you need to do. You don't need to create your own extensive list of resources, etc. Another milestone that we achieved last year was developing identity-based faculty and staff working groups, and I'll share more information on that in a little bit. We're also working in our gender, race, and identity program to establish minors in different area studies, and we've already established 3 minors dealing with different area studies, Indigenous, Latinx, and Black, and we're working on developing 2 or 3 more, one in Asian American studies and other area studies. So our GRI program has been very active in assisting in these efforts. And we're also launching trying to establish new identity-based living learning communities. There was a recent change in administration there. I'm not sure who is actually now working to advance the work we were doing last year, but we're making really good headway in developing identity-based living learning communities, and now we're working to establish a College of Arts, one that we do hope will have also a lot of overlap with some of the work that's currently being done, but also a very unique lens by which that living learning city is developed through a DEI lens. So if you look at the goals, one of our first goals there concerns the recruitment and retention of diverse faculty and staff, applicants as well as acceptances of faculty and staff. I conduct search committee training in the college that is unique from the HR search committee training that is offered for all other units. And I have the privilege of doing that now in my position. And I worked with the Faculty Diversity Committee last year to try to implement some of the things that we do in the college that are based on the best practices for recruiting diverse faculty and staff. They include things like having a separate diversity interview with each candidate, having ensuring that every committee is diverse and also has outside representatives on it and a number of other things. So I developed a whole toolkit for doing that. And I also am trying to implement some of those things university-wide. And we had great success with that in a regular year of hiring. More than 40% of the new hires we made 2 years ago when we were able to hire came from diverse racial and ethnic backgrounds. But what's more important, I think, to me is that the process we created ensures that every person we hire, 100% of the faculty that we hire, have to demonstrate a commitment and evidence of a commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion. And that has been the case since we put these procedures in place. And that's regardless of anyone's identity. It's the commitment and the evidence of the commitment that we look out for. And I interview every single person who is a finalist for a position in the college. And that's one way in which we've been able to create that sort of process of oversight. And also as the Associate Dean of Diversity and Inclusion, I have a chance to look at the data, use it to inform some of our goals. I provide data to the college that shows the ratio of faculty to students and broken down by racial and ethnic and gender demographics. And so I think that those sorts of things really help departments and units to understand, you know, who their students are, who they are serving and who they're not serving, right? And ways in which they can improve that. So those are some of the goals under goal one that I just wanted to highlight. But I think you also, Haley, you mentioned that we're trying to think of ways in which you all might be able to assist with some of these efforts. And I was thinking about goal number two, advancing a culture of inclusion, which starts on page 3, to improve the recruitment and retention of diverse undergraduate and graduate students. We are doing this through our Liberal Arts Fit program. This year, for example, we created a separate and just the beginning forum for first-gen students and trying to address some of the unique experiences that they have as they come to the university. I mentioned the development of our minors in GRI, right? So we have a couple already, but we're continuing to develop more. Our GRI program is actually now and recently became a department, so it's growing quite quickly. That we've invested a lot of resources in our GRI program, and we're hoping that will be a good way for us to continue to do this work. We're trying to develop a new BA in DEI leadership. We believe that we're looking at two different possibilities. One is like a dual degree that might be offered through GRI as well as our communication studies department, which can help address the leadership component. And maybe our GRI program can do the DEI component. But we're thinking that if we can provide an option for students to come in and do an academic program, a program of study that centers on this work, it would prepare them to be future leaders in various organizations or institutions when they graduate. Of course, recognizing the need for that throughout the country in many industries. In doing our recruitment, we try to create bilingual materials. We're trying to establish greater ties with the K-12 students, I always remind faculty and our recruitment team and our advisors about the demographics of our K-12 system, recognizing that 2/3 of the students in our K-12 currently are from diverse racial and ethnic backgrounds, and that, and also of course aligning that with some of the goals of the institution to become an Hispanic-serving institution, as well as now trying to develop a pathway for becoming a minority-serving institution through a designation of an APEASY, like also having being recognized for serving our Asian and Asian American students. And then hopefully all of those things will help us become recognized as an MSI, a minority-serving institution that has resources in place to serve all students. Some of the things I already mentioned, they're all under GO2. Living learning communities, I mentioned those already. And the ways in which, under GO3, of course, the couple of things that I mentioned so far are focused on recruitment. GO3 focuses more on retention, students, faculty, and staff. We know from our climate survey that was conducted just a couple of years ago that a sense of belonging or having a sense of belonging is something that many of many faculty, staff, and students mentioned was a major concern for our university. So I have worked for the last 3 years to try to create identity-based working groups, some that didn't exist, others that may have existed. For example, we created the first Indigenous working group. It's been very active in initiatives and university-wide. We're now working to, we're meeting actually this afternoon to establish a search committee that will help to hire our first tribal relations officer. The Director of Community Indigenous Relations is the exact title. And also someone who's going to help us to be in line with NAGPRA regulations, the Native American Graves Repatriation Act regulations that make sure that we are doing what is necessary to properly either return or keep in some ways that are in line with the desires of certain indigenous groups, ancestral artifacts or remains. But I actually just this 2 weeks ago, we had our first meeting of our AAPI group, faculty and staff. We're meeting once again in November, but it's also the first AAPI faculty and staff working group. And I'm seeing these working groups as developing in a way in which they can support many of the student organizations that currently exist. I think this is one way we might be able to combine efforts. I know that ASUN is just an invaluable resource for students, especially because you house and help to support so many or clubs and organizations that center on a lot of different identities that go way beyond those that I'm mentioning here. But I hope that there can be better ways to collaborate and coordinate with the faculty and staff associations, which might have different needs and a different focus, right? So these affinity groups of faculty and staff are trying to address some really dire needs that they have for having a support network, right? Making sure that we still have people in this university who are the only ones in their departments, sometimes the only females, sometimes the only person of color, and so just having a network of people on which you can rely, who get you, who don't understand where you're coming from, and who can help to support you in your, whether it be in your career, promotion to tenure, etc. Some of these groups are also focusing on advancing research, and they're also responsible for creating, they've also been responsible for creating some of those area studies that I mentioned that GRI is doing. So they've been working really well. And so by the end of this year, I hope to have the LGBTQ one going. I think we'll have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, at least 5 by the end of this May. And then after that, I'm going to focus on neurodiversity and ability, as well as different religious groups for the following year. So we're hoping that might help to address the issue of belonging. We do, you all know that we do a lot of different types of programming that centers on issues of diversity, equity, inclusion. On page 4, I highlight some of those. I do a lot of different workshops for the college, and I'm also always happy to do them outside of the college. I do one on recognizing how hate and bias works on college campuses to bring about awareness and also to inform people on how to respond if they witness something that is related to acts of hate and bias. I do a workshop on for faculty and staff on how to decolonize their syllabi in their classroom. I do one on strategic communication in the classroom, and just a number. I have a series of workshops that I've been able to do for our faculty and staff, and for some student groups as well. I can always tailor them for student groups. I did one for the Reynolds School of Journalism recently. I've done one for the medical school, and just students who have been interested in addressing some of these very important issues that we're facing as a society and also as an institution. The GoForce focuses on our Latino Research Center and the work that they're doing, which of course aligns with our goal as an institution to become an HSI. I know that we don't have a whole lot of time, so I won't go over all the rest of the details, but Go5 and Go6 will focus a little bit more on community relations and professional development, training, it lists some of the workshops that I mentioned and other ways in which we are integrating. We like to believe that diversity, equity, and inclusion are integrated into everything we do, right? It's not just in the classroom, it's not just for our diversity committee, it's actually embedded in everything we do, all the programming we do, all the academic programming we do, the outreach and recruitment that we do, as well as we're even now asking our development officers who are invested in fundraising to do fundraising in this area as well. Our communications team also has been instrumental in helping us develop those websites and tools, etc. So that's it in a nutshell. Questions, comments?
Awesome. Senator Noble.
So as always, you make me swell with pride for the College of Liberal Arts. Thank you for that very thorough breakdown. We are the best, aren't we, guys? It's a rough morning for Jeff. Now, the question that I have for you is, all of these goals are amazing. I fully support each and every one of them. My question is, how do y'all keep yourselves honest about them? What does the accountability process look like? Because it's one thing to spell out a list of goals that you would like to accomplish. However, I feel that a part of an operational action plan should also be a timetable and a means of community accountability to make sure that you guys follow through.
Most definitely, yes. And so that is also integrated.
Also, no one's discarding the macaroons. I just felt like I had to point that out. These are not for anyone.
I love it. Thank
My apologies.
You. Oh, thank you. That's a really excellent question. And certainly, we make sure that we go beyond just making statements. So you notice that even the statements that we've made on Black Lives Matter, on anti-Asian hate, I'm the one who writes and makes sure that, and also when departments make a statement, I always advise them to make sure at the end that they're actually demonstrating the actual evidence and commitment that they're going to be making. And then the accountability aspect comes in when you start setting deadlines. That's why here, by May 2022, I will be doing this, right? Also, if you look at the very bottom of each of those sections, there are measures and performance indicators. So for example, the analysis of demographic data I do, I collect it, I create data tables, et cetera, and then disseminate it to faculty in different forms. But I also make it readily available to anybody. If anybody asks me, if any of you want to see what the ratio is of faculty and staff to students, broken down by race, ethnicity, and gender, I can provide that to you. We're fortunate that now the Office of Diversity and Inclusion is creating a data dashboard where we will be able to do that in the future. Right now it only has data on student demographics. I hope that eventually anybody will be able to just go in and say, oh, look, what is the ratio of, you know, black faculty to students for this college, for this university, for this department? That's where we need to be. But yes, that's excellent part. These goals are actually drawn from our larger strategic plan, which is posted online. It's a 2019 to 2024 strategic plan. That, of course, is driven by and has diversity and inclusion embedded throughout. But every year, we do what we call an implementation plan for that year based on that goal, that strategic plan. And so when we do this, we also do an assessment of the previous year and whether or not we met those goals, and then identify the ones for this year. So these came out of an assessment of last year's plan, and which also came out of assessment of the previous year's plan. And so that's the way we hold ourselves accountable, and the way that our dean holds us accountable. And that doesn't mean that we're 100% successful. And so, for example, now we're having to go back and revise our goals because we have not been able to do the hiring that we would like to do. In a normal year, the College of Liberal Arts would hire approximately 20 new faculty, tenure track line faculty. So we were able to, at one time set goals, say, okay, we're going to increase the diversity of our faculty by at least 1% every year, which for a faculty of like over almost 300, that would be a reasonable goal. This year we have like 2 tenure track faculty lines so far that have been made available to us. Last year there were none. And so we know that it's going to be much more difficult. We know also that in terms of recruitment of students, our enrollments overall for the university, right, are not where they should be. So it's going to be a greater challenge to meet those goals. So it doesn't mean we're successful 100%, but it does mean that I'm highlighting just the process that we use to assess, build accountability, set deadlines, and have real metrics associated with these things.
Awesome. And I'm only going to take one more question for the sake of time. Does anybody else have a question? No? Awesome. If you guys do think of something, he is fantastic. I'm sure we can shoot him an email.
Simple request.
Yeah.
Those statistics that you mentioned earlier, those are very, very interesting. And I personally, as a committee member, would love to have those readily available. Could you by chance send that information to Chair Rowe so that she can add it to our Nevada Box file?
Mm-hmm.
That way we can pull it up whenever we need it.
I have them for last year. I just got the data for this year since after we had the census data. So I have, so now I'm creating and crunching the numbers for this year, but I will give you the ones from last year so you can see. And then my next, this was written in our planner, is to compare the last 2 years to this year. And I'm actually afraid of seeing that based on what I just mentioned. And you all know what we've been through as a college. So, but we need to know, right? The thing is we need to know how things look and where we stand. And you have the strict overall university plan, so I don't have to send that to you.
Yes.
But I can send you a file that's titled CLA Faculty, Staff, and Student Demographics, and if you share that with everybody.
Yeah, I would love that. Thank you so much, Dean Rose. We really appreciate you coming.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you for your time.
Thank you all. Thank you for your time and your work. And please don't hesitate to reach out to me. We also have, we're restructuring our diversity committee to include our ASUN senators, also from CLA. That group is intended to meet in November, so I will be reaching out to all of our CLA ASUN senators.
Perfect.
Just a quick reminder, anything you're saying will be recorded and will be something on record forever on the ASUN website, so do be aware of what you're saying. Just a quick reminder to everybody.
Awesome. And we are going to go down the agenda for the sake of time to 6, line item C, election of the vice chair. So hang on just for a moment. All right, I will now be accepting nominations from the floor for the position of Vice Chair for the Committee on Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. Nominations do not need a second, and self-nominations are welcome. When nominating someone, please use the phrase, "I nominate the Senator, whoever," to be the Vice Chair for the Committee on Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. Nominations are now in order. Senator Roundtree?
I nominate myself.
Senator Roundtree has been placed into nomination. Do you accept? Are there any further nominations? All right, there being no further nominations, nominations are now closed. Without objection, the nominees will be recognized in the order with which their nominations were made. The following have been nominated for the Vice Chair for the Senate Standing Committee on Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, Senator Roundtree. Before commencing with the first nominee's presentation, are there any questions? All right, seeing that there are no further questions, we will now move into the presentations of the nominees. Senator Roundtree, you are now recognized for your presentation.
I just wanted to say that I'm pretty passionate about DEI and about helping people, especially underrepresented communities on campus. I have great time management skills, very organized, so I would be able to help Chair Rowe anytime she needs. Communication skills are great. I'm a communication major, so, you know. I'm also an underrepresented, I'm part of an underrepresented community on campus, which is as a bisexual woman, so I think I would love to represent my community in that way, so, yeah.
Awesome, we have concluded the presentation. We'll now move into questions and answers from the floor. This portion will be up to 5 minutes. Do we have any questions for Senator Roundtree? Senator Nell?
Through the chair to Senator Roundtree, thank you so much for your presentation. I kind of wanted to ask, how comfortable are you with parliamentary procedure and Robert's rules and all that stuff?
Pretty comfortable. I'm going to go over some of them with Jeremy with the one-on-one meeting with him, but I feel pretty confident in them.
Are there any further questions for Senator Roundtree? Senator No?
Sorry, through the chair for Senator Roundtree again. So I know that today with the impressive presentation and a lot of what we've been talking about at DEI recently has been centered around racial and ethnic diversity. But of course, there are other groups on campus, the LGBTQ community that also need our attention, not to diminish the experiences of other minorities, but also just to keep every group in mind so we're not having any blind spots. So as a member of the community yourself, how do you about that blind spot right now, and how will you use your position as vice chair and as a senator in general to kind of alleviate that at the university level?
Something that I did plan on doing and will do is I wanted to reach out to some of those clubs and organizations on campus to go and talk to them to see if they had any problems or concerns that they wanted us to address, just so we can get a better idea of what we need to work on as a committee. And I was going to bring that to Chair Rowe.
Are there any further questions for Senator Roundtree? All right, if there are no further questions for the nominee, this concludes the question and answer portion. It has been customary for the body to consider the character, professional competence, mental health, and other matters permissible under NRS 241.033. Under NRS, the election may not be closed. When the body has concluded its deliberations, it can approve the nominee, reject the nominee, or take no action. We shall now move into a general debate from the floor. Senator Roundtree, do you mind if you wait outside? You don't have to.
Yeah, I got it.
Awesome. Thank you. Is there any discussion on the candidate?
She's great.
All right, that was easy then. Seeing no further discussion, we have concluded and we'll move into a vote. All those in favor of approving Senator Roundtree to the Vice Chair for the Committee on Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, please designate by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Any abstentions? All right, Senator Roundtree has received the majority of the votes and will now be placed as the Vice Chair for the Committee on Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. Congratulations, Senator Roundtree. You are now the Vice Chair for the Committee on Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion.
Yay!
All right. Okay, now we are going to go back up on the agenda to item 5, old business, line item A. So we were supposed to have, Senator Dojan?
Yeah, considering that's 9:49, class of 10, I don't want to be late because I'm exempt today, so I'm dead. I'll politely dismiss myself from the committee.
Okay.
What is your exam, Jeff?
Okay, so Senator Shaheen was supposed to be here today, but he couldn't make it, so he's coming next week. So if anyone has anything to say about the domestic violence resolution, now be the time. Otherwise, we can move it to next week, since that's when Senator Shaheen will be here. Senator Noble.
I've done a little bit of thinking about this resolution since our last conversation. And, well, I would like to get a little bit more information before we proceed with this issue, because I personally have not seen any statistics concerning the issue on campus related to the prevalence, where the hotspots are, or how we can best address it. Now, this might just be my own intuition, but I feel like until we have that information available to us, any legislation we might write is really a shot in the dark.
So there was an article, was it Senator Knopf? I don't remember, maybe Senator Bowling. One of them gave an article in the meeting that we had, and I'm pretty sure that article has a lot of data about the University of Nevada. I haven't had the chance to read it, but that's what it looked like to me. So we can definitely read that over and see if we feel comfortable with that amount of data and statistics.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone have any comments about that?
Just pulling up the article.
I'll give everyone a minute.
I think in the article it said, it's towards the end, it has some stats about Nevada callers to the National Domestic Violence Hotline, but that's like kind of at a state level. But below that it also says that the university's cooperative extension has the Heart and Shield program, which helps survivors of intimate partner violence and their families. So depending on that, they might have some stats about like domestic violence within people at the university community alone. We can try reaching out to them. I don't know, like, how, I mean, they might have to, like, be confidential about certain things, because I don't know what their, like, jurisdiction is in terms of helping victims, but it could be a route we want to take.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I'm sure that the Title IX office might have some data on that as well. So is there anyone who feels comfortable reaching out to them? I'm okay doing it as well, but if anyone would like to do that before our meeting next week, that would be fantastic. Okay, in that case, I will reach out to them, and I will see if I can get that data. Senator Noble.
Perhaps it would also be worth reaching out to Kayla Snowden from RHA, because if there's domestic violence issues, specifically on campus, it seems natural that, you know, the residences might be the place where it occurs.
Senator Rountree.
I am a liaison for the Academic and Student Affairs Committee for RHA, so I could reach out to Kayla for us.
That would be fantastic.
Thank you,
awesome.
Vice
Thank
Chair
you.
Rountree.
All right, do we have any further comments on this item of business? Okay, in that case, we are going to talk about it next week when Senator Shaheen can be here, so that's totally fine. We are now going to move to item 6, new business. I'm going to take line item B first, liaison reports. I did want to make a comment really quickly. I didn't list them because people still haven't sent them to me, so please send me your liaison positions. But does anyone have anything to report? Senator No?
I just want to say that I think Senators Noble, Rowe, and I, we can, do you guys want to set up a meeting with GRI soon? Just because like we heard that presentation from Dean Perez, it might be good for us to like follow up on them as a team.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Alrighty. And then also my other liaison position, excuse me, is with the Multicultural Center. And I haven't been able to meet with them recently, just because, I'm sorry, I've been, like, super busy. But I talked to Director Britt, because I know she's she, President Brown and VP Murphy have like monthly meetings with Jose, who's the coordinator of the Multicultural Center. So I asked her if I could like join in on those meetings for this committee, and she said she would send me the meeting invites for all of those, so I should be attending one soon.
Awesome. Does anyone have anything else to share for liaison reports? Okay, that's totally fine. Then we are going to move to line item A, the legislation tracker. So I'm going to pull that up so we can get it down. I'm pretty sure that we're not going to have anything new to add to this. But I did want to get it up there so that we can have access to it, and I'll actually make it so that you guys are able to edit this, unlike the last document that I made. Okay, so I know, is Senator Wise still here? She is, awesome. So Senator Wise, you were spearheading a PTSD piece of legislation that the committee was going to work on. Has there been any progress with that on your end, or do you want me to leave it at 0% still?
So I did start to explore kind of some possible areas, because I think my big problem right now is trying to find, like, because I want to make it like school relevant, like college relevant. So I'm trying to like figure out maybe like an area that I can go down, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So I mean, maybe like, I guess, no, I don't even want to say 25% because that's too big a number, like 15%. 15%,
so that's totally fine.
Yeah.
Okay. And so the way that I'm going to do it, I'll make this more formatted nicely later on, but I'm going to put the name of the bill. I'm going to put like the senator and the committee who's kind of in charge of it. And then I'll put the percentage that it's complete. So we'll start with that. We also have the UNR DEI coordinator resolution. I believe I'm going to put probably Senator Noble and Senator Jojen in charge of that, because you guys both kind of came up with the idea. And then since Senator Noble, you're the only one here, has there been any on that?
No, there hasn't.
Totally fine. All right, and then we have diverse authorship, which was Senator No, if I'm correct. Has there been any work on that one?
No.
Totally.
Did you still want to work on that
yes.
one?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
Okay, I'll reach out to you about
yeah.
that.
Yeah, I'm just putting like the people who are going to be like, you know, in charge, I guess,
yeah,
one could
sponsors.
Say. Yes, yeah. Exactly. But the whole committee can obviously work to whatever extent they want to. And I know that I am forgetting some. So does anyone else?
Well, there's the domestic violence one.
Oh, yes, the domestic violence one. Thank you. I forgot about that. I'm going to put 10%, and I'm not going to put anyone because we're all working on that together. Senator Rodri?
We have LGBTQ safety zones on campus, which is, I guess, like, I think we said 50%.
Senator Bowling, sorry, I didn't see your hand up. Go ahead.
No, you're good. I just wanted to ask Senator Roundtree about how you mentioned your goals in the beginning about in terms of sports with females. I don't know if you had any legislation working towards that or like a name, because that would be a good one to put up as well, I believe.
Yeah, advertising for women's sports and organizations on campus. I wanted to do something with just getting them more advertising. I haven't started any research yet, but if anybody wants to help me on that, like, yeah, I'm down.
Do you want that to be like a committee thing or just a you thing?
We can do a committee thing.
Okay, because it doesn't have to be. It's,
oh, yeah.
It's completely
no,
up to you.
I'm married, honestly.
Sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot or anything.
No, you're good.
Senator Wise, can you hear us? Can you hear us okay, Senator Wise?
Yeah, I had to switch my phone because I'm walking to it, through the health center, but yes, I'm still here.
You are totally fine.
Okay.
Okay. Awesome, and I think this is it. I just looked at my list. Does anyone else have anything they want to add, Senator Nell?
I just had a question through the chair to Senator Wise. How's the resolution for Thacker Pass going?
So, I caught part of that. So, how is the resolution for what?
The Thacker Pass resolution that you're working on. How's that going? Because I know you were gonna want to present it to SSW as well. So I was just kind of wondering on like the progress of getting it to the Senate table.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's a very good question. Thank you for asking that. So I met with Jake on Monday, and we were talking about Thacker Pass. And basically what he said is to send a copy to Breeze because formatting it so that way it would make sense because I read through it and I was like, this makes no sense whatsoever. So I edited it and I sent it over to him. So he's going to have Bree kind of edit it and make it like super clean.
Senator Wise, can you hear us?
Ground control to Senator Wise.
Yeah. Okay, I think we lost contact with her. She'll probably jump back in a minute. But in the meantime, does anyone else have anything they want to add to the legislation?
NAGPRA compliance bill. It will be going through this committee, even though it is not specifically of and by this committee.
Okay, so I'm not going to add it to this since it's not like something the committee is working on, but we will keep it in mind because it will be something that we are going to hear.
Let it live rent-free in your brains.
Senator Wise, are you able to hear us or share? I know you're walking, so it's okay if not. Okay.
I'm here. Hear me.
I heard you.
It's just cutting in and out.
Yeah, it's okay. Okay, so if she wants to, we can go to a public comment later to hear about that. Senator Bowling, do you have anything else? I just saw that your hand was still up.
No, sorry, I just forgot to lower it.
You're totally fine. I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't skipping over you. Okay, then we are going to move on to line item D, upcoming relevant meetings. So what I wanted this to be next time that we meet, I'm gonna have like an official list of all the meetings that are happening for that week so that you can see and then you can decide if you wanna go. But I did just wanna touch on it. If anyone has any meetings that they would like members of the committee to attend, now would be the time to share. Does anyone know of anything? It's okay if you don't. Okay, so next week I am going to have a list. I would really like us to try to go out during the week. I know everyone is really busy, but like I said, it's kind of my goal to bring people in, but also for us to show support to the organizations on campus that relate to DEI. So in that case, we are going to go to item 7, reports of ASUN officers. I have a written report from Director Britt, because she could not be here. Director Britt says, "Hi everyone, I hope you had a fun homecoming last week. I attended my subcommittee meeting with the FDC on Friday where we talked about and went over the strategic plan. Our next meeting will be on November 9th. Director Lim and I have also finished filming for both students and faculty for our MCOD video last week, and he is currently working on the edits. I worked with AD Lab on creating a presentation this week as she presented a pre-med event called See It to Be It this past Saturday that was mainly aimed at students of color who are on the pre-med track. I met with my intern, Jalen, last week, and he attended the Senate meeting with me. Last Thursday, I presented to the clubs and orgs interns, and after that, attended the 50-yard lunch with several other ASUN officers. Today after Senate, I'll be presenting to the judicial and Senate interns. Next Monday, I'll be presenting to the Committee on Oversight. Next week, I'll be talking with my department on planning at least one bonding event before Thanksgiving break. Also next week, Director Resnick and I will be meeting to discuss an event initiative idea that we want to collaborate on. As per usual, if you need anything from me or have any questions, please feel free to reach out." So that is from Director Britt. Do you have any questions on that? If you guys have any questions, you can always just email her. Awesome. Then we are going to move to item 8, public comment. Do we have any public comment? No? Awesome, then we are going to move to item 9, adjournment. I am going to adjourn this meeting of the Committee on Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion at 9:56 a.m.
Like, okay, how's this going?